This is Haunted America with your host, Josh Mantello, and Al Shepard on Blog Talk Radio. To discuss today's topics, call 646-716-5896. And now, Haunted America with Josh Mantello and Al Shepard.
Hello, everyone, to another edition of Haunted America Radio. My name's Al Shepard. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Josh Mantello. Hello, Josh.
Hello. I'm here early and on time this week, right in the... before that show even started, so
This is like the first time you got to hear the opening theme, isn't it?
Yeah, not without having to play it back at another time. So yeah, it's working out pretty well. As long as you get the switch room opened early, and who knows, maybe eventually I'll get it. My computer will work as a headset, but so far this headset on my phone is working really well. So.
Yeah, I can't complain. It works. So I want to thank those of you listening, and I see Lerner in the chat room there who says they hope to learn a lot today. I don't know if was that it's kind of hard to tell if that's a male or female, but everyone's a learner anyway. So
hopefully we can teach a few people a couple things. Sometimes my views and what I put out when I start talking about paranormal photography and spirit photography, I kind of tend to upset a few people here and there because I'm telling them, you know, that their pictures really aren't that much of a ghost picture, and you know, they get upset with me, so I don't know.
Yeah, this week we're gonna discuss paranormal photography. The beauty of this show is Josh and I don't usually talk during the week. He tells me at the end of the show what the topic's going to be for next week, and then that's about it. We don't hear each other again until we're usually right on the air here. So he's come up with about 6 pictures that he wants to pick apart, but he didn't know that I came up with about 40 more, so I'm going to keep him busy all day long here today.
Well, that's what we're here for, yeah. I think it'll work out. I had a couple people in mind to have call in. I couldn't really get a commitment on a guest, so I'm going to wing it, but I'm really hoping that, you know, we get some people who are listening who want to call in, because, you know, some interaction will be nice. If anyone has a picture, they could email me. As we get talking about spirit photography here, if there's any pictures anybody kind of wants to be, you know, looked at or picked apart or debunked or told it is a ghost or isn't a ghost, chances are I won't say it is, but... if you want anything picked apart, you can email it to the show. You can email me at josh@berkshireparanormal.com, and, you know, I'll pull it right up. I'll have it at my computer. Where, you know, I can just try and maybe if you can find a way to share the link with everybody else, and I can pick it apart for you. Feel free to call in. You know, and it's a lot easier to interact back and forth with a voice instead of trying to chat, because then I get distracted and I have a hard time typing and talking at the same time.
You're not a multitasker, huh?
I can be. I'm still working on that, though. That's one multitask I haven't quite gotten yet.
All right. I want to say hello to our guests there in the chat room. Anything else you want to get into before we get going, or do you want to go right to the pictures?
It's been a pretty... I kind of wanted to talk a little bit, you know how... the people who are listening, I know we have, it tells us we got about 30 people who do listen, so, you know, don't think every show here is going to be just a constant, you know, over your head talk about, you know, everything ghost hunting and how we hunt and all that. We were just talking before the show started that, you know, I'm thinking we're going to start going into, you know, some more interesting topics. I don't want to sound like a one-trick pony for our first four episodes here. We're going to start talking a little bit more about, the different types of hauntings, or specific hauntings in general. We might even delve into, you know, we talk about the Haunted America Radio, but it's a paranormal show. There's a lot more to the paranormal than just ghosts, you know. There's always cryptozoology and demonology and UFOlogy. There's a very broad spectrum of paranormal besides the ghost stuff that we tend to been talking about. And I think right now we've just been talking a lot about the the investigation stuff, because that's just what I do. So that's what I'm most comfortable with, and I kind of wanted to stick with what I was comfortable with for the first few shows. But I think we're going to start going outside the comfort range, and I know in a couple weeks I want to personally try and get in some stuff about psychics. You know, that's a field I don't really work with a whole lot, and some stuff along those lines.
Sounds good to me. While I'm thinking of it, next week, Josh has got a commitment. He's not going to be here. So psychic medium Gemini Rose will be sitting in as a special co-host. If you haven't heard her yet, it seems like she's popping up on about every radio show on Blog Talk Radio, and I invited her to come over here and sit, and she has no idea what she's going to be in for when she gets in the room with me. So anyways, I wanted to give a shout out to a gentleman named Gary. He's from DAS Distribution, and you think I could find my website right now? I can't. Anyways, I bought a K2 meter off him, and it was defective. And I sent him an email saying, hey, this thing don't work. He said, no problem. The very next day, he sent me out a brand new one. Got here in 2 days, works fine. Mailed him back, what are you going to do with the old one? He said, nothing, keep it. So, I mean, that kind of customer service you don't find very often. So I just wanted to give a shout out to him and thank him. He's definitely a rare individual in this day and age of doing business, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely, most people always want something back, and they'll try to fix it themselves and, you know, saw it off to somebody else. You know, that's most people want it, you know, they just keep the old one. So that's definitely worth the plug.
And I'm trying to find the website.
All right. Another
find
the
website where I was, but oh well.
Yeah, I know many of you are listening are fans of a lot of the stuff Berkshire Paranormal does, a lot of the stuff that the Houghton Mansion does. Keep your ears peeled and eyes peeled to the Houghton Mansion webpage. I plan on, over the next week, probably updating and revamping that webpage. And we're going to have some events and some exciting news coming down the pipe. I know we're trying to get together. This is going to be kind of short notice. Get together a large event or a conference put together on August 1st. It'll be a Saturday. There's a couple other interesting things that are going to be coming on down the road. Probably when I get back, I know next week I won't be on the show, and I think the week after that we might be taking a little one-week hiatus just due to some personal appointments. And then when we come back, I'll probably have full details on that, along with what I talked about a few weeks ago, going up at a kind of a haunted retreat up in Vermont in beautiful Manchester. Hopefully we'll have all the details ironed out for that, for anybody who's interested. I know, and there's a lot of people who listen. I know we got Lerner in the chat room. You know, if you're listening and you're listening to these types of shows and you're trying to pick up information on how to learn how to hunt ghosts, or trying to learn more about fears or anything along the lines, all these types of events, and not just the ones that, you know, I help put on or, that I attend, but all across the country there's events like this where groups try to get together a bunch of speakers, and they have it at a haunted location, and you can try and, you know, hunt ghosts yourself. They have people on hand to help you learn, and they show you the ropes and teach you the proper way to use your equipment. They're a great asset. A lot of times they're really well worth the money. Some are as cheap as $35. You can do a whole weekend for a couple hundred bucks. It's really, really well worth it.
Most definitely. something I was going to say, and now I forgot. Anyways, oh well.
Happens.
Oh, what I was going to say is, in case you didn't know, I do have a web hosting business. So if you want to, if you ever want to move your site over to a one that isn't a, you know, normally a freebie, but you can have it for a freebie, where you can do a lot more with your site, let me know. So.
Oh yeah, I definitely. I'll see how I can get. You know, the web host I have now, and it's just a free site. You know, I don't have any money, obviously, to pay into it. And I haven't really updated it in so long, I kind of forgot what I can and can't do. So I updated it for the first time today with a new contact phone number. I had somebody very important over the week calling me 3 or 4 times, and I'm lucky I got the call when I did, or I would have really been kicking myself in the butt if I missed it.
Yeah, well, just the general layout, if you want to redesign it or something, let me know. And we'll jump right on that for you. All right. Trying to think. I guess we've covered most everything, unless you got something else up your sleeve there.
Nah, that's just about it. There, I just wanted to get a few things out. I'm sure I'll repeat myself at the end of 2 hours, too. So.
All right. So you want to tackle the first photograph? I'll put the link up in the chat room whenever you're ready, and people can go over and look at them, as long as they promise not to skip ahead.
Well, if you want to post the link, and we'll let them look at them. I kind of have a little spiel I like to kind of spit out for a few minutes while I'm still before I really get into it.
Okay.
This is the type of stuff that we get all the time, any investigator or anybody who's remotely interested in the paranormal. It's one of the things they look at the most is always pictures. When we start buying equipment, or when you decide you're going to be an investigator, or you're going to decide to start seriously looking into some sort of afterlife or a paranormal investigation, you know, the first piece of equipment you look at is a camera. Generally, because it's what you already have. This is something we all use in our normal life, and we don't understand how the camera fully works, except for the fact that we point it in any given direction, we push a button, it captures what it sees, and that's that. So we just take the same little piece of equipment and then just throw it into a situation where we're trying to document the unknown. And I think for us to really understand what we're capturing on there, and sometimes the situations that we're putting these cameras in are more extreme circumstances than they're normally placed in. For instance, you know, generally you're at a kid's birthday party, you're just snapping pictures away. Now we're asking the camera, especially modern ones that take, you know, light, that have autofocus, they take light readings, and they adjust everything for you. You're putting it in a dark situation with people walking around with flashlights. We're outside in a cemetery where it's cold. We're down in a basement where it might be humid from a boiler. You know, we're putting it in situations that are a little bit more extreme than just your run-of-mill, you know, out in the yard, taking pictures of your kids playing type of thing. So we're asking it to do a little bit more, and we're not really understanding what it's doing. And then at the same time, a lot of people are starting to mess around with the settings on these things. And if you don't know what you're adjusting on these, and you don't know what little button you just pushed, or what it means when you just put exposure, then well, you're kind of lost. So I try to, through all the pictures and a lot of the ones that I submitted and some of the ones I put on up today are ones that are purposely fake, but they look really cool. They look a lot like ghost pictures, and I use them as extreme examples as to why people feel they might be a ghost. All right, let me get to the page, though. In my talking, I've walked away from my computer now, so.
That's okay. I know that that one that I showed you a couple weeks ago that I was pretty much thoroughly convinced was it was a spirit orb, and after you telling me a different way to look at it, now I'm, you know, second guessing myself. I'm not quite positive as much as I was. I'm still fairly sure, but I'm not as positive as I was before.
Well, before we even really get into this, because I'm going to end up bringing it up later and mentioning it, and I might as well talk about it now while I have the time, as a paranormal picture classification system. We've talked a lot about EVP here over the past few weeks, and I'm sure Al and anybody else who's familiar with EVP are familiar with the classification system they run for EVP, right?
I know there is one. I'm not exactly sure how, you know, what the different classes are, but I know I have heard of class 1, 2, and 3, I think.
1, 2, and 3, the general one that they put out that the American Association of EVP runs is class A, B, and C. I was getting into lecturing and including a lot of pictures into my lecturing and talking a lot about different spirit photography and stuff like that, and I wanted a way to help explain or easily just point out what, you know, a picture that was possibly a spirit was, what the one that I really felt was a spirit, and the one that I really felt wasn't. With EVP, a Class C is, you know, there's a voice there, it's really garbled, you can't really understand it, and you can mess with it all you want, you really can't clean it up. A Class B is one that you can understand, but sometimes there's a debate over what it said, and you got to clean it up a little bit to make it understood. And a Class A is a pick one in the EVP that just right out of nowhere, everybody understands it. You hear it, and it says, yep. Everybody says that's what it says. And there's no debate over it. Now, the picture is a little bit different. With a Class C picture, it's just not a ghost, plain and simple. It's something that was naturally caused. It's something that was, you know, environmentally around, or something within the camera that malfunctioned, or some other non-paranormal cause created. Now I like to use the word anomaly when we talk about spear photography, and there's something in there that doesn't belong. That people say is a spear, I call it an anomaly. So something environmental, non-paranormal caused the anomaly. Now, with a B, is something that is kind of on the fence. A lot of orbs, I generally will call a C, but now, like with your orb, you said you had some sort of paranormal occurrence happening around the same time. So that could maybe be a B. A picture, basically a Class B is a picture that natural causes or natural phenomenon cannot be immediately ruled out as the cause of the anomaly in the picture. But at the same time, other paranormal activity was happening and occurring at the same time as the picture was taken. So you have something that would make you say, okay, it's possibly paranormal, but it could also be caused by this. So it's kind of an on-the-fence thing. And a lot of times, I like to, you know, feel free to throw in an A-minus, B-plus, B-minus. So, oh, that's really, 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 you know, it looks like, you know, it could be, you know, a fog in the picture. But, you know, you just said, oh, there was something happening, but it looks a lot like fog. Well, that can be a B-minus. And then an A is simply a picture that I can't immediately rule out natural causes for the phenomenon. Now, these are very rare. You know, I don't really claim to be a photographic expert. There's a lot to the cameras and functions of cameras and photographs I don't understand. You know, there's people with doctorates that work at Kodak and Polaroid that, you know, they have doctorates in this stuff. And a lot of the stuff I might even say I can't find natural causes for, they probably could. So, you know, A's are really few and far between, but there's a few out there, and even still sometimes you're almost hesitant to even give it that classification.
So like you said, it's rare. So I take it you don't see many Class A's. How many Class B's do you run into, or are most 90% of what you run into considered a Class C?
Well, most of them are Class Bs, given the fact that they're generally taken during an investigation and somebody had something happening. And that's where it gets tough being a third-party observer, because for me, a lot of times I have to kind of take into consideration the person who took the picture. And, you know, do I trust them as to whether or not they're trying to pull a fast one on me, you know, trying to make me look bad, you know, and saying something was or wasn't a spirit, or are they generally, you know, honestly trying to, you know, get an opinion? You know, are they fabricating the story of what happened around it to make it match the picture so that they have something to show? Now, do a lot of groups do that? No. Do some? It's very possible. And that it kind of really falls into the play where, you know, how well do you know and how well do you trust the person that actually took the picture? And it's tough. It really is tough. And for me, with a lot of this, it falls onto documentation. You got to be able to document what was happening around you at the time. I'm not saying write a one-page report for every time you push the shutter button, but a simple, you know, throughout the night the temperature was 70 degrees, throughout the night nobody was smoking, throughout, you know, little things like this that these are questions I'm going to ask, or anybody who's trying to analyze your evidence is going to ask. Yeah, and say, you know, what was going on. And if you can't answer that question, well, I think somebody might have been smoking, but we heard this loud bump. I'm going to tell you, well, I'm going to have a hard time telling you that that's a ghost you have in your picture. I'm going to say it's a very strong likelihood that you have some sort of, you know, smoke that wandered across the front of your lens and was reflected out of the flash.
And then you've got the people that no matter what you tell them, they're not going to believe you because you just don't know what you're talking about, because they know it's a ghost.
And of course, yeah, I mean, there's tons of that, and you got to take it. A great story, and this happens to a lot of people, and I'm sure anybody else who's an investigator will say the same thing, and if somebody's happened to them, especially if they're into pictures at all and paranormal photography, is I had just gotten done doing a lecture at a public library in a small town out in New York, and this older woman approached me with a picture. And this is, you know, not too uncommon. Somebody approaches me with a picture. Oh, you know, I'd love to show you this. This is what I think is whatever. This picture was her granddaughter riding a horse, and on her granddaughter's shoulder was an orb. And for people who are familiar with orbs, you know, a lot of them look like there's a face in them. And she says how that orb has a face, and that is her deceased husband protecting her granddaughter while riding the horse. Now, in the natural, just me, every orb is dust, and you know, it's real hard to, you kind of have to bite your tongue, you know, because, you know, if you tell this woman it's not your dead husband and her grandfather protecting her, she's going to be crushed and insulted and upset. So, at the same time, sometimes you even have to consider your audience, you know, before you start really debunking away a lot of these pictures on them. Are we still there? Hello. Now, I don't know if I'm talking to myself or not. Still there, Al. I'm hearing nothing. All right. For those of you in the chat room, can you hear me or the host? Or can you hear me, Josh or Al? Okay, you can hear me, but not Al. And he's gone. All right. Well, that was weird. All right, learner, but I do think I have your picture right here in front of me. I do like that headstone. That's very, very nice old headstone, though. And hopefully Al will sort out whatever his problem was on the other end here in a few minutes. All right, Moto Man, you can hear me, too. This is open. All right. Well, learner, I'm looking at your picture. Is there any specific spot here that you want me to look in? I can see up in the upper corner of the picture, there's kind of a mist or an overlay, a little bit brighter than the rest, kind of right off into the center of it. It's kind of definitely awkward to sit here and talk over the radio with people in a chat room. I can say that's a new experience.
Hello.
And Al is back.
Good old Internet Explorer. What can I say? It just plain crashed, and that was all there was to it.
All right, I was wondering what happened to you. As long as we're all here and we're still streaming back over the internet, I'm happy.
You were streaming all along. It's just me that disappeared,
I think. Yep, I was still streaming. I was having kind of a slight, kind of a weird talk back and forth, trying to talk over the radio and it with the text at the same time. But I did.
Well, anyways, she sent you a photo there.
Yep, I have it now. I'm kind of looking at it. She's saying from the top up, it's there's kind of a mist. What I can say is just the top of it and to the left, it seems a little bit brighter than the rest and misty and bright, and then directly over the top of it's very bright. So I'm thinking automatically when looking at it, with the absence of any paranormal activity, I would think automatically that it's the sun. The camera's pointing towards the sky, and you when you have the fish eye, the bubble shape of a lens, when the sun hits it like that, you'll get an effect like that where it's brighter, hazier, and get that kind of effect over that tombstone. And if it's hard to tell. I mean, I don't know if the sun was in that direction. It looks like it was maybe a cloudy day, but it'll still, the sun coming through there will kind of give you that effect in that corner that she's talking about. And I know.
Well, I can't comment much because I can't see it.
I don't know how much of me you heard, but I pretty much went through everything. And now...
All right, you want to move over to the first photo then? Take a look at that and see what you think?
Absolutely.
Well, this is one that you submitted, so you ought to know what you think.
Oh, that very first one, I should have stayed for last. Well, I'll throw that one out first. This one is, for those of you...
I asked you what order you wanted them in. You didn't tell me anything, so...
Yeah, I know. I didn't think of it. I never think that quick. For those of you who are able to click and listen at the same time, I know, and for those of you who are just listening and not able to to look over at the pictures, but since this is streaming over the internet, I'm sure most of you have a web browser open somewhere, so if you want to jump into the chat room and grab the link to be able to look at these pictures, it'll make the conversation seem a whole lot more interesting. In this picture,
for those that are listening to this on the archive later on, go to hauntedamericaradio.com/photos. And look for the album, fourth episode, Paranormal Photography, and you could follow along with these pictures.
Yep, that'll work. Thank you, Al. This first picture is a picture that I've yet to be able to debunk. So I'm going to throw the one I can't debunk out first, I guess. This was actually taken by me during a investigation up in Vermont at a mansion that's being restored into a bed and breakfast. What you see is basically a room that's getting renovated. Walls taken down, some curtain hanging, and what you have is almost like a ribbon of light kind of shooting across the screen. Are you looking at the same one now?
Yeah, looks like it's got a little white radiator on the left-hand side there.
Yeah, you got a radiator in there. Generally now, the first thing you want to do when you start trying to debunk a picture and you're trying to figure out what's causing it, and I think this is the biggest problem with a lot of investigators, is as soon as they get a picture and they look at it and they have something in it that they don't immediately understand, they drop everything that they're doing and automatically post it on their webpage and say that is the ghost that they captured during the investigation. And that's not true, and you can't really do that. You have to take your time, take 10, 15, 20 seconds, and look at it, and think for a minute as to what else is around in that picture. Think back to when you took it as to what was going on around you, and try and find a natural causing phenomenon for it. Don't just say, oh, there's an anomaly, that anomaly is a ghost, and let's put it out there for the world to see. Now, I did that with this picture, and I even went back to the location again to try and find a cause for it. Now, immediately thinking debunk-wise, I'm looking for some sort of reflection. A lot of times when we have unexplained light and you had a flash on the camera, you think it's the flash reflecting somewhere. There's no mirrors, there's no windows in this picture, and there was none in that room. I went back to verify that. There's no reflective surfaces. The curtain that's hanging in the back there is somewhat reflective, but not completely, so it's hard to really tell. But that particular doorway is a murder scene where somebody was actually murdered in this house. And we captured a good quantity of very good EVPs throughout the night in that very same location. So I can't find a good cause for it. There's a lot of times with these light ribbons or these light streaks, you kind of look for a pattern, and a lot of times the pattern will match another object inside the frame. I can't find that pattern anywhere else in the picture that's reflecting. Hence, I kind of have a picture here that I don't understand and have had a hard time debunking.
So would you classify it as a Class B or a Class A?
This year, because I can't find any natural causes for the anomaly, and we had paranormal activity happening in and around that area at the time the picture was taken and throughout the night, this year is probably my only Class A, or one of my only Class A's. I think I might have two others in my library on my hard drive, and I think this is the only one I have included now, but you know, they're few and far between.
And this goes back to what we were discussing a couple of weeks ago about proper documentation. We're going to work on getting a form together or something. I think Michael Baker was going to put one up on his site in a PDF form so people could download it. But when you're taking your pictures, if it's possible to document, okay, the date, time of day, what the temperature was, things like Josh was saying earlier, you know, is there anybody around smoking or this or that and things like that, humidity, And that all helps later on when you're trying to track down a natural cause.
Yeah, I mean that's absolutely true. You can't, and like I said earlier, I really don't expect anybody to sit down every time they take a picture to write, you know, a handful of notes. And if anybody wants it, feel free to email me and ask, and I'll send it to you. I already have a small little form made up that'll include it. You know, it'll kind of show you how to document it. And it basically is, you do it in bunches, because you generally will take, you know, any given number of pictures, 5, 10, 15, 20, within the same area before you move on. So what you do is you say pictures 1 through 20 were taking at this time in this room. The temperature was this. My shutter speed was that. Basically, anything you feel you're going to need to know later that's relevant. And anything that might have happened if you're using a longer shutter speed. And we'll get into that later as about shutter speeds and how they really affect our pictures. And if somebody walked through, if somebody was smoking next to you, you just write it down for pictures 1 through 20. And then as you move on throughout the night, you do pictures 20 through 30. And you have a set of notes for that little set. And it's just a quick little line, a quick blurb. And all of this is very relevant. And nowadays, if you have Windows Vista and if you have a newer digital camera, you can get half of the stuff you might want right off your camera anyways. When you put that picture onto Vista and you use the viewer, it actually would show you what your shutter speed was, whether the flash was on, what the f-stop was, what the ISO was, what the camera was made. You know, it tells you a lot of the camera settings that sometimes are hard to remember. And then all you really need to be responsible to try and remember is the temperature and what was going on around you.
Great. I didn't realize all that about Vista. I've been using it for a while, but didn't realize that.
Yeah, if you go to look at any picture folder, any folder full of pictures, and when you click on that picture, don't open it in the window in the picture viewer, but just in the folder. When you click on, when you just highlight that thumbnail, along the bottom of it will have a spot for you to, you know, tag it, you know, rate it, put a name to it, and it'll also tell you all that other relative information: the camera model, serial number. All that happy stuff that, you know, like I said, generally you really won't know.
That's good to know. Do you want to move ahead to the next picture, or?
Why don't we, let's move right on to the next one. As we talk about them and move on, there will be more and more stuff that I'm going to kind of bring up, you know, little lessons learned or things you should know about, you know, when taking your pictures. And let me get back to my computer here. The next one you will see is, if everybody's on the kind of the same page, is kind of an angel
should be file number 2 of 35, and boy, it looks awful dark to me. I can't even see what it is.
Can you see the headstone, or there's an angel headstone?
Nope. All I see is a dark room where it looks like a purple stripe through it.
Oh. Okay. I don't know if you're can turn up the brightness on your turn up the brightness on it. It's coming up all right on the webpage I'm showing it on. But
okay, it must be the brightness on my screen. I don't know how everybody else is seeing it, but maybe it's my monitor.
Well, basically what that is, because it's not in a room, this is in a cemetery. There are some purple lights, and what this is a headstone, and this was actually taken well after sunset, and yet I was able to even capture the sky being blue, which is pretty cool. Have you been able to adjust it yet? Can you see it a little bit?
Well, according to my monitor, my brightness is all the way up, so luckily, I've got it also hooked up to my TV set, so let me try pulling it up on the TV, and I'll see. But anyways, if everybody else can see it all right, go ahead.
All right. Well, basically what we have is what we would call a vortex. I'm going to kind of go back to Paranormal Photography 101 here. There are basically four different types of anomalies we look for in a picture. There being apparitions, the full body body manifestation of a, or essence of a person, basically capturing the ghost picture. We look for vortexes, which this picture would kind of fall under, orbs, and shooting orbs. Vortexes and shooting orbs are kind of intermingled and sometimes can be confused as one or the other. And then mists, or ectos. When we talk about mists, we talk about mist, the mist being non-paranormal and ecto being paranormal, and it's saying it's ectoplasm or the manifestation of a spirit. It's a misty kind of look. So in this picture, we kind of have a shooting orb, vortex, purple effect. Now, anybody looking at this will automatically say, well, it's in a cemetery, so in a cemetery there's dead people and must be haunted in one way, form, or another. And what this was, and this is from my collection of fake photography, and pictures I make up on my own to try and fool people and teach people on, you know, common malfunctions in the camera or common settings in the camera that can cause anomalies. And what I did in this one was I opened up a shutter and had somebody walk through the frame holding a purple flashlight. Now, it was dark out, so the person isn't even visible now through the lens. Only the flashlight is visible. Now, the shutter was open for kind of an extreme amount of time, up above 10 seconds. And what the shutter is, and I'll get into this right now, I guess, is the shutter is like your eyelid to the camera. When it opens, it lets the light in, and it allows the camera to see. On average, your general everyday picture taking, the shutter speed is within hundredths of a second, very fast. So having it in the multiple seconds range, that's a very long time for it to be exposing. And everything that happens and moves around is imprinted onto that film. But now remember, we're not taking video pictures here, we're taking still pictures. So any kind of movement is kind of streaked and blurred. And light being, the source of what's making the picture, light going into the camera. So when we walk across with a flashlight like we did here, while the shutter was open, it imprinted that light into it as a streak, and we get a shooting orb.
That is weird. That if I looked at that, I would think there was something weird going on, just for the fact you can't see the person.
Right, and that's what really started to surprise me when I started doing these pictures, messing around with different shutter speeds and flashlights and stuff like that, is you don't see the person. If that person was standing there and it was dark out and if they stood still, you got to think, during that time, it's trying to imprint everything that it sees over that period of time. If you move through somewhat fast, the camera's not going to see you. It's especially in a dark situation. Now, if the person walked through while it was open and it was more light out, or they shined the light on themselves, then the camera would see them. You got to remember, the camera only sees light that's being there and it's visible and accessible to it, and they're not there. And generally, you got to think of how somebody holds a flashlight. They hold it in front of them. They don't illuminate themselves with the flashlight. They illuminate what's in front of them. So I'm sure some people are saying, okay, well, why do I need to know about this through paranormal investigations? And basically, is we're all using, most people now are all using cameras in one form or another that has an automatic setting to it. A setting that will automatically adjust its shutter speed and ISO and f-stop and all its little functions depending on the circumstance. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. We got to think of when we're investigating. We're investigating when it's nighttime. We're investigating when it's dark. And given the dark circumstances, the camera says, okay, I need more light to take a picture. Well, in order to capture more light, it needs a slower shutter speed. So when you go to take your picture and you hold down the button halfway for it to autofocus, it captures, it does a light reading, it says it's dark, I need more light, it's going to have a slower shutter speed. So even if it goes down to a half a second, or it'd be somewhere between a half a second and 1 second, which really isn't uncommon, especially if you have the flash shut off, it can, and somebody walks through with a flashlight during the investigation, we're all walking around with flashlights in our hand during investigation, and you take the picture, the camera jumps down to a 1 second or, you know, half second to 1 second shutter speed and someone walks by during that 1 second, that's the type of thing you're going to get. Now, you might not remember that. When you're analyzing your evidence, you might say, did somebody walk through? I don't remember. I just have a light streak and it was a haunted house. I must have a ghost. And that sometimes really isn't the case.
Now, I'm still playing with the gamma correction on my monitor here. Luckily, I can see this on the TV just fine, so definitely something I got going on here. All right, do you want to move on?
Why don't we jump right on to the next one? Now, this one here I hope you can see a little bit more clear. There's a lot more light in this one. This one's when I actually have more artistic version of the same thing.
I can see it just great on my TV. Looks like a nightclub.
Oh, that's actually, well, that's the Masonic Lodge upstairs in the Houghton Mansion.
Now we know what you guys do in there. Okay.
We walk around with a bunch of flashlights. It's what they do when the lights are off. That's one. That room, at the time the picture was taken, is pitch black. And again, I'm going out to extreme lengths here with a shutter of 30 seconds. That's, you know, a very long time. If you were to have anything longer than a couple seconds during the daytime, your picture would be just burnt white from the excess amount of light hitting the film or the light chip in a digital camera. And I'll say that now, I'm going to say this now, is when I'm going to say film a lot, and I know everybody say, well, I use digital, I don't use film. The concept is the same, how the image is transferred into it. The light comes in through the lens and it imprints on a film and old cameras, now modern cameras. The light still goes through the lens, passes the shutter and all that. Instead of just hitting the film, it hits a light-sensitive chip or receptor. Just to make it easier, I like to just say it hits the film. But, you know, this year, 30 seconds is a long time, but it was pitch dark, so you're able to pull it off. And any bit of movement, everything stayed perfectly still in there, so it looks like a good, quick, still picture. But during that time, again, I just walked around with a flashlight for 15 seconds, changed lights to a red light, walked around some more, and then changed it one more time to a white light and walked past the far edge. And you kind of get this cool, almost carousel, you know, almost looks like a carnival going on in there with all the lights shooting around. And, you know, this is the type of stuff you know, this is an extreme example. And I like to always say that, you know, people say, well, I'm never going to have a 30-second shutter speed during this. During an investigation, and that's perfectly understandable. But you might have something that looks like this a little bit smaller. As I said, I like to use a larger, more extreme example to show some of the things, because, you know, people get awed by that. You know, you'd be surprised at some of the more subtle little light streaks that'll happen that you will call a shooting orb, when it might have just been your wrist moving. The same type of thing could happen with your camera being handheld in the dark, and it goes down to a half second, 1 second. And when you hit the button, your hand twists. Nobody can hold their hand perfectly still. And instead of somebody walking by with a light, the camera moves. And then say you have a light bulb somewhere in that room, and your camera moves, your hand twists a quarter of an inch, a half an inch, and that lens just bounces. Now, instead of somebody walking by and streaking, now that point of light in the room is going to streak. Now, you may say, oh, only a half an inch. Yeah, half an inch on your hand, but it translates down frame. It translates to something across the room as far as feet. If you ever take like a laser pointer or a flashlight and you only move your hand a little bit, it seems like it's moving a lot farther when you point it down the wall. The same concept. So if your hand's only twitching just a little bit, it might make a light bulb down across the room seem to streak and move, you know, feet even. And then if the flash goes off, everybody in that room's frozen still from the flash, but that one streak is going to be there, and everybody's jumping right on it saying, oh, that's a shooting orb or that's the ghost.
Very good. We had a couple new people pop into the chat room here. I just posted the link to the photo gallery, and right now we're on photo number 3, so you can follow along to what we're doing here as Josh is debunking some weird paranormal looking pictures here. You want to go on to the next one, or?
I think we should move on.
All right, so this will be...
who do I have now?
If you're in the album browser here, where it says file number 4 of 35. Looks like you with some really cool orbs.
4 and 5 actually kind of go together. You can feel free to mingle through the two of them. I'm going to reference them both pretty much at the same time. And I'll probably go on my dissertation now about orbs. Orbs, we don't know where they are. We never will know where they are unless we're using a multi-lens camera. And there's such a thing, IMAX cameras and stuff like that. They capture 3D. In general, the camera most of us, 95% of the population are using when we're investigating are just one-lens cameras. And it's only a two-dimensional perception of what that lens sees. It's really tough to, kind of hard to gather, but, we as humans are able to perceive depth and what's in front of what and what's farther away than something else is because we have two eyes. A camera doesn't have two eyes. A camera only has one. So it's only a two-dimensional perception of everything. So you really have no way of telling where something is within that picture. So, especially orbs. Now, yeah, you can gather it together pretty simply because we're humans. We have the ability to reason and figure it out that, okay, this belongs here and this belongs there. Generally, things that are smaller are farther away and something that's bigger is closer. And this is where it really starts getting in with orbs. So remember that. Things that are smaller are farther away. Things that are bigger are closer. You ever see the old eye trick where somebody can take like a large landmark or a skyscraper that's far away in the distance and they can kind of make a C out of their hand and put their index finger on the top of it and their thumb underneath it, and then somebody they line it up just right and you can take a picture of it and it almost appears like it's they're squishing that landmark in their hand. Or the same thing where if you have a couple of your friends hanging around and you're on a hill, one person can stand on the hill holding their hand out upright, and then another friend can go up on the hill where it lines up just right, where their feet are where your hand is, and you take the picture and it looks like your friend is standing in your hand. Kind of the same concept. The camera wasn't able to capture the fact that skyscraper was farther away or your friend was up on the hill. It's your mind playing a trick on you. So this here.
Now, how did you do these? Are these actual spots on the lens, or what did you do?
Yeah, these were tricky. It took me a while to really. I'm surprised I didn't think of it any quicker than I did. But they're pieces of paper. I was like, how am I going to be able to create orbs? How can I create orbs? And I never just thought to take a piece of paper and cut it into a circle. Now, I guess I'll ask you, Al, since I really can't have a dialogue with any of the listeners. And if you're looking at picture four, you have three orbs in there, right?
Yeah.
I guess out of all of them, which ones do you think are at the same distance from the camera as me?
It looks like the one right next to your head, the middle one.
Okay. So then you would say that
the bigger one's in front of you, and the other one's all the way back at the back of the room, by the looks like a candelabra or something back there.
Yeah, pretty much right. So that means your eyes are simply just playing a trick on you. And this goes into the whole for instance, that picture I had earlier. The woman said, well, that orb is on my granddaughter's shoulder. There's no way. I highly doubt it, and there's no way to prove it. All that bigger orb that's kind of hip level to me is actually about 4 or 5 feet behind me. You're right about the medium-sized one. That is at the same distance as me, but that smaller one is also hanging from the same doorway as the medium-sized one and is at the same distance from the camera as I am. due to its size and its small nature, you're automatically assuming that it's farther away because it's smaller.
Okay, I didn't even realize that that those are actually hanging from the ceiling or something. I thought that was like when you put a little drop on the lens or something.
No, they're hanging. No, they're hanging from the ceiling. You know, I used fish line. If you were to zoom in, you could probably see the line. But you know, for the and actually this size window, it works perfect. You know, that little one looks to be on that far back wall when in actuality it's hanging from the same doorway I'm leaning up against.
Okay, now file number 5. Is there 3 in that one also, or just 2? Now, what are you, like, looking at same thing, just from the opposite direction, or?
This is a different setup altogether. This is a different doorway, different camera placement. Actually, kind of where I'm standing in that picture is where the camera was in number 4. But
okay,
the same concept. Now, kind of the same concept here, if you look at them, which one's really by me and which one is away from me.
Now, again, it looks like the one just to the right of your head is even with you. These I can actually see look like shadows behind them.
Yeah, you can actually now start to see the shadow that they're casting from the flash.
Yep.
But it still serves really the same purpose, where they're still both hanging from the same doorway. Yet, that smaller one appears to be equal with me. And now having something in the picture makes it completely different. Now, if I had the same one, and I have tons of these, where it's those same two orbs hanging in the same spot, but I'm not there, and that table with the water bottle is not on it. When you start adding different objects into the picture, it changes the whole perception of your eyes and your brain as to where those things are actually stationed and positioned within the picture. If somebody else was standing there, your brain would say, well, maybe it's attached to them in some form. So where I'm standing and where other things are all positioned within that picture all are taken into consideration within milliseconds in your brain, and it just automatically assumes, and you start to you figure where it might be, when in actuality that small orb is probably 18 feet in front of me, and it looks directly over my shoulder or even behind me.
So the bigger and the smaller are both hanging from that same doorway. It's just the little one looks like, I mean, it looks like it's behind you, between you and the other doorway behind you.
Right, and it's actually hanging from that very first doorway. It's that orb, those two orbs are actually in the same distance from the camera as that little table with a water bottle.
That's I guess your eyes do kind of play tricks on you, don't they?
That's why, you know, I always tell people, you can't believe what you see in these pictures 100%. You know, and that one there is the perfect example. That the water bottle and the two orbs are the same distance, maybe an inch or two off, but they're the same relative distance from the lens as each other. I'm 18 feet, probably 15 to 18 feet behind that table, yet still the larger orb almost looks behind the coffee table and the water bottle, and the smaller orb looks even further back than me. Now, if I had a third one hanging there that was very big, it would appear in front of that coffee table. And if I had one even smaller than that small one, it would look further back than that one, yet they would still all be hanging the same distance from the lens. So now, let's take this into our paranormal investigation. How many orbs do we all capture? And then we all look at them, we all say, well, look at this orb, it's right there. No, it's not. You gotta have to think about what causes orbs. And orbs are generally the debunkers of orbs, and the fact of what really causes orbs is dust, moisture, and bugs. Little moisture droplets, little pieces of dust, and a bug. And what's happening is they're actually right in front of your lens. I mean, inches. in front of your lens. And the flash goes off. Your camera and your lens are focused 20, 30, 40, God, however many feet away from you. You know, it's focused on the far wall of whatever room you're in. So it's focused down there. Now, you can do the same thing with your hand. You know, stare across the room, you know, and focus on the far wall of your room and put your hand in front of it. It doesn't look right. It's out of focus. It looks like you have 6-7 fingers. So that little piece of dust, it wanders its way in front of your lens or a bug. The flash goes off and it bounces the light back in. But now, because it's so close to the lens, it blows up out of focus while everything else behind it stays in focus. And all depending on how big and how out of focus it is, depends on where in the frame and where in the picture your brain figures it should be. And sometimes they're just placed on top of someone's shoulder, underneath your feet, you know, God knows where.
So it's just kind of coincidence if it happens to show up in a place that that you can put meaning to, you know?
Right, and that's the thing, is it's almost a form of matrixing. Matrixing being the brain's natural tendency to find something it recognizes out of things that are unrecognizable.
The Rorschach or whatever ink spot test or whatever
right.
It is, where you look at the ink spots and you make faces out of them and stuff.
Right. Or you're laying down outside on a nice day and you watch the clouds pass and that cloud looks like a duck, that cloud looks like a rabbit. Same concept. Your brain has a natural tendency to, it doesn't like being confused. It doesn't like not seeing things it doesn't know. It wants to recognize things. It's always looking for, in particular, facial patterns. And when you're in a crowd, you're constantly scanning every face to find one that you recognize. So you're constantly trying to find things that you recognize. And facial patterns are the number one thing it's always trying to find. And this will come into paranormal pictures later when we're talking about people seeing faces in the orbs, or faces in trees, or faces in mist. Same concept. It's, after a while of staring at something, the brain is going to start finding what it's looking for, what it wants. It wants to recognize faces and things that it understands. If it doesn't understand chaos, it's going to try and make something good out of it that it knows.
All right. Now, this file number 6, is this more flashlight stuff?
Probably. Let's get back to my file here. File number 6. Yep. And all I did in here is, same thing, open the shutter and somebody walked by with a flashlight. And what happened in this one was the flashlight for a split second actually shined up on the person and reflected back reflected back that weird streak that it does in the middle where it's solid, kind of blurs for a minute, and then goes back solid. That's what happened, was they actually kind of came back up on the person carrying it for a second and then went back down to a more steady pace.
All right. The next bunch of photos here is ones that I just went around on the internet, and I've visited a couple sites that did a search in Google for top 10 ghost photos and all this stuff. Ghost photos of the world, so I figured I'd just slap these up here and let you go through some of them and see what your feelings are on them, and maybe how you'd rate them, you know, A, B, or C, and because I'm sure some of these photos other people have seen on the net already, and a lot of people have gotten excited. So if you want to jump ahead to number 7.
I'm looking at the number 7 on? Yeah, number 7. Now, they debunked this for me. And they really did. When you look at this picture, they think they're doing themselves a service by posting up everything that's relevant. And it's great. This is all the stuff I was talking about. You know, post your shutter speeds, post your f-stop. They have it as an F number. Post your, whether the flash was on or what the ISO was, they have the focal length. You know, they have everything in here. And if it wasn't for all that, I wouldn't probably be able to debunk it. all that right there automatically told me what happened. The exposure is a half a second. And if I knew you had posted this one up, I could have emailed you another one where I did something very similar with my daughter in about a half a second to 1 second time. And it looks almost the same way. And this picture, if you're looking at it, has obviously they were taking a picture of two girls sitting on a bench, and in the background you have a ghost image of a sailor, and it looks like he's walking with somebody. So, you know, they're saying, okay, you have the ghost of a sailor walking in the background of this picture. And if the flash wasn't on in this picture, this would make it a whole lot more credible. But what really did this is the flash and the half-second shutter speed. A half-second is kind of quick, but it's slow when it comes to the shutter speed. And a lot can happen in a half a second. So what I'm kind of thinking is happening here is they go to take the picture, and what happens is when you got to realize a flash is, well, almost... It's like a strobe light. It is a strobe light, but it's only for a split second. So if you think about what happens when you're in a strobe light, everything looks like it's going in slow motion because you're just getting a split second view of everything as it moves. So when they're taking this picture, the flash only worked for a millisecond, you know. And so the camera, they hit the shutter, the flash goes off for that millisecond, and in that millisecond, the camera gets an extra burst of light that, you know, that's not natural within the thing, within the frame. So everything that's there is frozen in time, just like with a strobe light, for that millisecond, and captured into the camera with that extra burst of light from the flash. Now it stays open for that whatever, you know, for that millisecond, so whatever's left for that half second that it's open, all the other natural light in the surrounding is now flooded into the camera. And basically, during that millisecond, the flash bounced off this nice white uniform the sailor's wearing. And then it had another, you know, more than a quarter of a second, you know, 0.999 half second to record all the other natural light that's there, including the light that was behind the sailor at the time the flash went off. That floods in through him, and it gives him a ghostly appearance. You can do this easily with that same amount of time I could recreate it. Now, if they did that without a flash, I probably wouldn't be able to debunk that. But with that flash on, that's almost exactly what happened.
In all fairness to the website that I got this from, they too said exactly the same thing you did. As soon as the poster posted the information on the shutter speed, they immediately knew what was going on. So,
all right.
Just
and
posting
then, and
the link again here in the chat room for the guests that just came in, and we're now on photo number 7 of a whole bunch here in this photo gallery I posted the link to. And it doesn't matter because they left anyway.
Well, I think it's hard to... There's nobody in the chat room anymore. There's still
people. Oh, yeah, there's still people in there. Just a new person come in. So every time a new person jumps in, I try to put the link back up so they know where we're at. And they took right off and left again. So.
Yeah.
All right, this photo, photo number 8 is a from a paranormal group who took a picture of looks like an upstairs window in a house or a garage, and see this mist in the window. Immediately what I can see is where the two windows join in the middle. It's a lot brighter right there. I don't know if as a paranormal investigator, what do you think of this?
Well, that's tricky. I have a picture very similar to this that I pass off as a ghost picture. So if I really debunk this, everybody's going to say the same thing about mine. But this is tricky. You're right. I do see a in the blown up cropped version of the window, there it does appear to be a little bit brighter right there in that middle pane. So I'm going to try to ignore that, because that could even be, if they do like I did, I have a very similar picture that I took at the Houghton Mansion where I feel something's looking out through the pane. If they were like me, they enhanced it just a little bit so that you can see the ghost image in the bigger version a little bit better. So I'm going to just kind of focus more on the uncropped window. Sure, you know, this is where you kind of have to get the backstory on the picture. You know, was somebody inside? I don't know. Was the sun shining in through there? Now, if you look at the cropped one and, you know, you have that little bit of brightness right there, was somebody maybe shining a flashlight onto the window, creating some sort of reflection out of it? This is very good. This is, it's not very over the top. It's just simply like a face looking out down towards, you know, the camera. And, you know, like I said, I have to know a little bit more about what was happening at the time. This year, it could very well be a reflection of something in the background, or it could be somebody inside. Short of knowing, you know, the exact circumstances, I could say this is like a B+. Now, if they said nobody was in there, I wasn't using a flash, the sun was on the other side of the house, and all that type of information, I could say, okay, that's a very good A, especially if it's a haunted house. If it's just some random house, someone just took a picture at the window, and it might be a little different.
Okay, so this is definitely a B, and quite possibly an A. Just quickly for the people that have just joined us in the chat room, if you want to just quickly run down through the classification system that you've devised for paranormal photographs.
Oh, you want me to go back over that again? Sure.
Just quickly, let us know what constitutes a Class A, B, and C, just for the newer people that have joined us.
Right. Simply put, Class A pictures are ghosts. Class A pictures are pictures I cannot debunk. Most people can't debunk. And no natural causes, no natural environmental causes can be found to create that picture. A Class B picture is something that has an anomaly in it, something that could be paranormal related, but there's still a possibility that it could be caused naturally due to, you know, the environment and camera settings at the time the picture was taken. But there was also some sort of paranormal activity happening, so we're kind of at a 50-50 zone. And Class C is a picture, when we look at it, we automatically say, well, that it was caused by natural phenomenon. And, you know, it's simply put, just not a ghost.
All right. And for those that are listening to the archive, these photos you can find at hauntedamericaradio.com/photos and look for the album, which says 4th Episode Paranormal Photography. And right now we are on file number 8, and we're going to jump to file number 9. Take a look at this one and see what you think.
Well, I automatically, when I look at this, I'm thinking it is a very good hoax. It looks very much like a double exposure. That's it. I mean, yeah, he's transparent. But it's very crystal clear. I mean, of all the ghost pictures I've ever seen, it's never that clear of a transparent picture. And this kind of comes back to what I said earlier, is who took the picture, how well do you know who took the picture, and do you trust them? Are they trying to pull a fast one on you? And there are people out there that are, their sole purpose is probably to make some ghost hunter look like an idiot by posting. Now, they could have made this picture up. I don't know who took this picture. I'd never seen this one before. You know, it's someone peeking around a tree that's, you know, half transparent. You know.
And this was actually done by a photojournalist, and this one is a hoax. He did it on purpose. just to screw some people up.
And you know, I think a lot of the pictures we get as paranormal investigators are always so, they're never this clear. You know, I think if I were to see this, it saw such a clear picture. It makes me really wonder and shake my head because it looks very well professionally done. It kind of takes me to want to bring up a little bit about people. You know, a lot of people have this misunderstanding that you can't double expose a digital. And for those, double exposure is when with film, as you expose that piece of film twice. Your two separate pictures, and you kind of get overlays and ghost images. You can double expose digital. It just takes a long shutter speed and a couple of flash bursts, or a dark room and one flash. You can double expose and create ghost images just like that very easily using a digital camera, just as easily as you could using an older style film, 35mm or anything else. So just throw that out there right now, because I know I get a lot of people who say, oh, you can't double expose digital, so anything that's transparent like that from a digital has to be a ghost, because you can't, it's impossible, you can't double expose digital, but you can. You're just, keep the shutter open for a long time, take a picture once with the flash, everything that's there is imprinted that once, and you have that person move while the shutter's open and the room is dark, and then flash the same room again with a person not there, and there you go. You have a double exposure. It's actually not as hard as most people would think.
All right. The next one I grabbed from a website, this will be file number 10, and they are thoroughly convinced that this is a ghost, and even I was able to come up with an alternative answer to this one when I first looked at it and read the accompanying article that mentioned it was in the dead of winter and you can see the snow on the ground and the cars in the background.
That's what I was going to tell you, Al. The first thing I was going to say, if you didn't say that, is take a look at the entire picture. And that's important. And I'm going to take a few minutes here to kind of continue on what I was talking about earlier. With, analyzing your evidence, analyzing your pictures. As any investigator probably knows, now that we use digital, we take hundreds of pictures during the course of any investigation. Hundreds of, your possibilities are endless, depending on how big of a memory card you have. It's not like you just have to go buy 30 shot roll of film. Now, if you have a 4 or 5 gigabyte memory card, you can take hundreds of pictures all night long. And by the time you're looking at your 100th, 200th, and 300th pictures, you're starting to get tired. And take your time and really look at them. And look at what's in the background. And this is what these people did. They didn't take the time to really think about the big picture. They just looked at it. They saw a mist. Well, then that mist has to be a ghost. Never mind anything else that was happening around you or at the same time. Just that mist is a ghost. The first thing I saw when I looked at that picture is all the snow in the background. What happens in the winter and it snows? It's cold out. And when it's cold, what happens then?
I said it's got to be breath. That's my first idea, is somebody didn't hold their breath.
Yeah, that's it exactly. They didn't hold their breath. Now, I'm not saying you have to hold your breath every time you take a picture, but that's a good habit to get into.
What's funny is if you go to the next picture, number 11, and what you were talking about matrixing, this is what someone looking at the photo said they see.
They actually took the time to sit there and outline the entire picture. And that's kind of ridiculous. It's matrixing. It really is. And one thing to kind of start to remember if you're investigating and you're investigating in the cold, just happened to me once, is especially now with cameras that you don't actually have to look through a little lens hole to focus. You know, now with all your handheld digitals, you have the little 2-inch screen that you can hold out. You hold out in front of you to focus the view. So if you're using that, you look out. You hold. You're either left or you're right-handed. And if you hold the camera with your right hand, generally, you're going to be looking through it kind of with your right eye, and it's going to be tilted off to the right of your face. And what you're going to start noticing is that the mist is going to be in every picture coming from the left-hand side of the picture. Because what's happening is when you take your breath, because the way you hold your camera off canter, off center of your face to the right, that whenever you take your breath, it's going to come out to the left side. You're always going to almost have a mist on the left-hand side of the camera. And even in these pictures, most people are predominantly right-handed and almost forced to be with cameras because the shutter button is on the right side of the camera. And I think if you look at each one of these, they all appear to kind of come out.
Yep, number 12 is another from the same series. And as you say, it does look like it's all coming from the left-hand side.
Right. It disperses.
Number 13 is what somebody sees in number 12, and I think they've been reading too many comic books.
Superhero. That's just really taking the extra effort to try and find something. I mean, that's just really, I mean, very rarely do I really just almost want to laugh at what somebody did, but that's just really taking the extra effort to draw something out that really isn't there.
All right, now we'll get to the more serious things here. These are ones, this next photo, number 14, is the beginning of some that were on a site with a top 10 ghost photo list. And I had a hard time even seeing anything in here, but they claim that that this is a shadow person, or a couple shadow persons. And even looking at this on my TV, I can't see much of anything.
Oh, yeah, yep. I can. Well, what I could almost say what that could be is taken during an investigation, a camera without a flash, and while the shutter was open, somebody was standing there. My immediate explanation for it. And again, it's going to all go back to like what I just said in who took the picture, how well do you trust them, and did they document it? What if they showed you that picture and it's your best friend? He said, I went to the local haunted building by myself with my camera, set it up on a tripod, and was taking pictures down a hallway, and this is what I got. I'd say, wow, you got shadow people. Now, what if just some random guy came up to me and said, me and 13 of my buddies went down to the same building. We're walking all over the place.
After digesting a six-pack and a half.
Not even that. What if they're just a random group that you never even met before, and maybe they're ghost hunters, maybe they're not. Maybe this was their first investigation, but he said, me and 13 of my buddies went into that same building. We all walked all over the place. I really didn't keep track of where they all were at any given point, and this is what I got. There's your shadow person. So that's why, sometimes, I can really be nitpicky and knock out a lot of these pictures and say, that this definitely is a ghost. But at the same time, I always like to try and to take into consideration what was happening at the time the picture was taken, because that is what is so vital, is what really happened. Was the flash on? Was your camera set to this? was there other people with you? And that's just very important. And one great way, and this is something... Oh, go ahead.
The thing is, if you can take that attitude and debunk a lot of them, when you do get a Class A that you can't explain, it makes it all that more valuable, you know?
Right, and one thing that's really, I think, starting to get really important, and I'm trying to adopt more and more into my investigations, is have one of your investigators, you don't even have to be an investigator. They could just be somebody who wants to be with you. I want to be part of your group. I want to investigate with you so bad. Just give me anything to do. All right, well, here is a video camera. I want you to walk around and follow me with everything I do with this video camera. And that is it. Now, he's video camera, and have it with a night shot and a night vision. Now, in that same circumstance now with this picture with the shadow people, if he's just walking around, he's videotaping you, taking your pictures and videotaping down the hall, you can look at that video and you can say, look, nobody was there. Now you have your proof and your documentation of what was going on at the time the picture was taken, because now you don't have to write it all down. You had somebody videotaping the whole thing for you.
All right. We got 21 more photos to go and 33 minutes to do it in. So you got a little over a minute per photo here. Number 15.
Now, if we don't get them all, we don't get them all, I guess.
No, biggie. Number 15, I believe this is the Myrtles Plantation, I think. These two guys were sitting in the chairs just enjoying a drink by the looks. And if you look right between them in the back, they swear that is the ghost of the slave girl that roams around the property down there. So I want to get your opinion on that.
Let me get it to pop up in a bigger window. Oh, yeah. Well, I could say this could be matrixing. It could be somebody standing behind there, or it could be the ghost of the girl that walks around. If they were videotaping
so definitely
at the time,
a Class B then.
If they were videotaping at the time of the picture, you would have been able to see somebody walking back by there. You would have noticed that. What's getting me is that it was a Spanish moth, I think it's called, that wispy stuff hanging down there.
From the shoulders down, I could say that would be the moth, but it's the top, very top part where the head would be is the part that I can't really explain what that would be.
Yeah, I agree. There is kind of a flesh color there, so.
That's number 9 on their top 10 list.
Number 9, yeah, that's a good one. And I hate to sound like a broken record, but now who took the picture and what was happening?
That I don't know. I just found these on their site, and I'm not really sure where they came from. Number 16 is supposedly something that they caught in, I think, a basement or a storage room. I can't remember exactly. But the red eyes on this one, as far as I know, when you capture spirits on camera, they usually don't suffer from red eye, do they?
Well, this can go back to, remember how I explained earlier what happened? How you can double expose with multiple flashes? I think that's what's happening.
Exactly. That's what makes me think it's double exposure, because I've never seen a ghost photo where they had red eye.
And I think what might be happening here also is a lot of the other images within the picture are streaked. The chairs are kind of doubled. They almost have like a two-tone color to them and stuff along those lines. So I think what you're looking at there is there was some camera movement around the time the picture was taken. and being a longer shutter speed and only one flash went off, or something along those lines.
Alrighty. For those listening, we're at hauntedamericaradio.com/photos, and we're in the album called Fourth Episode Paranormal Photography, and we are moving on to file number 17, where supposedly the woman in this picture is a psychic. She was led to this car. A gentleman committed suicide in this car. And according to them, they can see the spirit of the dead gentleman in the car. And this is one of those things where I don't see much anything.
All right. Well, that's a good eye on their behalf. Another thing, when you're analyzing your pictures, take your time and look at every possible location for that spirit to be. So who's saying the spirit wants its picture to be taken? The spirit could be hiding from you. So take your time. Don't just look at the picture quickly and look away. Take your time. Look in the corners. Look under the chairs. Look under the desk. Look in a corner. Look where maybe the spirit might be hiding. Yeah, if you have 200 pictures, it's going to take you a long time to look at all 200. But look at every aspect. And I got to give whoever took this picture the credit to, hey, she took the time and really looked inside there to see this face that I can see a face in there. So I got to give them some credit for that. This can naturally be a cause by matrixing. Obviously there's a facial pattern there. It is kind of a spooky looking face on it, and and they had a psychic lead them to it. So this here I would place maybe in a Class B situation. Now, for all I know, this psychic could, there's psychic fraud, so who knows, this could be the best psychic in the world. I've never met her, never heard of him. It could be the worst psychic in the world. I don't know. So, in something like this, we have a little bit more of a backstory, obviously. The other pictures, we didn't have a backstory, so it's hard to say whether or not it's paranormal. We have something that would attribute to a haunting with this car, and a psychic pointing us to it. So this here I could say is a B minus maybe.
Lerner in the chat room is like me, said it looks like the silhouette of the headrest, and that's about all I see myself.
it very well could be, and I'm being a little bit more generous here than I normally would be. if that's something my team were to present to me, I would maybe say, guys, let's look for something else. And you gotta, take in the thought too, when we're dealing with these, we don't want to jump to conclusions about whether a place is haunting or haunted or not, strictly and solely based on this one picture. And I think that what you're going to see a lot happening too with some investigations and some groups that are out there that are new and getting their feet wet and they're so excited that they have something. In your newer group, and I understand as a new group, you want to be that group to find evidence. You want to be the group to find a haunted place and investigate a place that is haunted. But take your time and really think about it. Is this, you did a 8-hour long investigation of a building, and this car was involved in that building, and if all those 8 hours of work, all the video and audio and pictures you took, this one thing is all you have, is this what you're really going to face, saying your house is haunted, your location is haunted based on this? No, I want it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, not if you want any reputation left at all. So,
take your time and really think about what's going on.
Number 18 might be something you've seen before in the basement of the Houghton Mansion, maybe.
Let's see.
The bottom left-hand corner, there appears to be a black mass or something that is clouding the image of the boxes behind it.
Well, if I didn't know better, that's like the same paint scheme, too, we have at the Houghton Mansion. It's like the same paint we have.
Well, do you have a chair by the old door there, or what? Maybe that's where it came from. I don't know. It's on their top 10 ghost photos, but they didn't really say where it came from.
I just had a voice go over my phone. Did you hear that too, Al?
What was that?
Did you hear that same woman talking over your headset that I heard?
No. You picking up EVPs in the middle of the show, or what?
I don't know, maybe. I just heard, if anybody's listening, they heard that too. I don't know, maybe I had a cell phone lead over mine, but I just heard like a woman talking.
Maybe I'll have to go back and listen to the archive, because last week Carly Rose was doing a show on direct voice phenomenon, and she was talking, I believe, to Debbie Edwards, and they were talking about how she communicated with a spirit over the telephone, and during the show, the spirit come on the phone line and started saying, hello, hello, hello. And when you went back and played the archive, sure enough, there it was.
That's interesting. That's really cool. Well.
So, anyways, maybe you don't want to take a stab at debunking this one, because maybe this is one you guys took at your own mansion.
This picture is what I could say. I'd be 90% sure in saying this is a reflection blocking what's in the background. It's that the sun, you've looked into a window and you can kind of vaguely see through it, but at the same time, if there's trees behind you or bushes near it, you kind of get an outline of those bushes or trees. I'd be 90% sure in saying that's what's right there.
All right, well, we'll blow that one out of the water here. File 19, one of the better-known photos, I believe, boy, I got to think now. Eastern State, maybe this is? I can't remember, but I know I've seen it before, of this shadow, black mass on the stairway. And I want to say maybe Waverly, Sanitarium or Eastern State Penitentiary. I can't remember.
Yeah, I've seen, this, you're right, this is tough. Now, I'm gonna pretend, this is a picture from my own investigation. And I'm gonna have two scenarios when I think of this, or when I'm gonna try to explain it. So, say I'm investigating a place, I have no evidence whatsoever, I had zero personal experiences. As far as I'm concerned, that building was the most inactive haunted building I've ever been in my entire life. And then I have this picture. I would maybe say it's like a B minus. I'm sure if I were to send this to the people at Kodak or Canon or manufacturers, they would tell me how this could happen. This could very easily be a large hair or something on your lens. Now, I'm going to take this same picture and apply it to a very haunted building I've been in. As a matter of fact, me and one of my investigators are walking up and down those stairs, and we had a spirit feel like we were touching us, or, one of my investigators caught an incredible EVP on that same staircase. At that point, I might say that's a B+ or like an A-. You kind of have to have a little bit of a backstory, a little bit of what was going on with that picture at the same time. Now, if this is Eastern State or one of those most well-known haunted places in America, well then, this here could very well be, especially, a lot of times people contribute black masses with something demonic. That could very well be, something very, a very good piece evidence that was captured, and I think you would need a little bit of a backstory and what was going on and what happened at that time to really cause that anomaly, especially if the unspiritual and paranormal was happening when that picture was taken.
Yeah, learners in the chat room said maybe the shadow of the handrail. I'm wondering if the light could reflect off the wall and cast that shadow out in the walkway like that or not. It seems to be a little too wide to me to be the handrail, but
I'm
not sure.
Well, you're right. It does kind of follow a parallel line with that. But it seems to be almost too dark. Because even with shadows, generally you can see through them a little bit as to what was behind the shadow.
And the shadow is actually more grayish than it is black, isn't it?
Right. And with this, I would almost want to think, too, the light source, where the light source would be. Is it for the shadow to be projected down like that, your flash or whatever the light source making the shadow would have to be almost directly above the handrail, where with a I guess a flash would project somewhat of a shadow on there, but not one that dark.
Yeah, I didn't know if maybe it was the flash bouncing off the wall, because it almost seemed like the camera, the flash would have to be about where the wall is to shoot the shadow out that direction.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, so, oh well. Got 15 minutes left here. You want to move to the next one, number 20? Looks like a crowded bar room of some sort or a party. And then up in the left corner to the side of, looks like a TV screen or something, they see something there. Now, I don't know if this is matrixing or if that's something actually there.
Well, that's tough. I almost want to say that it's definitely, it's very creepy looking.
It looks like something from Halloween.
It's a very creepy looking picture. I got to give it that. I mean, if it was a C minus, I'd make it a C plus just for being creepy. But it's the creepiness alone. It has to move it up at least a half a point on the scale. I would have to say, I mean, again, without some sort of a backstory on it, you know, is this a haunted building? Was there some sort of activity going on? I mean, apparently it's just, you know, it looks like a bar, and this guy with the white shirt is maybe the bartender because all the booze are right behind him. Was there a mirror there? A lot of times, you know, with bars, there's a mirror that hangs behind the bar. If this is a bar, and a lot of times behind all the liquor is a mirror or some sort of reflective surface, could that be a reflection of somebody back in the room? And because it's so dark and hell, it's a bar room, so I'm sure that mirror isn't the cleanest of surfaces. You know, that reflection is somewhat altered a little bit. I would be more apt to give it that, saying it's some sort of weird reflection and matrixing than possibly a spirit. I would say it's a B minus C plus, with the absence of any sort of paranormal activity happening at that time.
All right, yeah. We see a face, Lerner sees one big old eyeball, so.
When I first saw it too, that's kind of what I thought. I saw a big old eyeball staring at me, and I thought that was kind of freaky. But then when I kind of looked at the uncropped version, I saw more of the creepy-looking face. It has like a skull.
It looks like a skull face or something. Yeah, exactly. All right.
Autor.
Number 21. File number 21. This supposedly is a psychic while they are in the middle of communication with something. And this picture was taken of them.
All right. We know... It's in black and white, so I almost wonder if it was taken with infrared film.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It was taken in infrared.
Don't the infrareds come out with more of a greenish tint to them?
When you're dealing with infrared film, it's generally just black and white. The greenish tint is what you get more with you when you're using a night vision type of technology. In itself, it's literally just black and white. And I'm wondering if this was taken with infrared. Obviously, something paranormal was happening. The psychic was channeling, and it does seem to be at its brightest around her shoulders, head, and neck. So if the spirit is entering her in some way, form, it's attaching in that general area. And if they're using infrared, and us, using that big theory in the paranormal world that spirits are in the infrared realm, and there's a light that they emit, or the infrared light that we can't see. This is I like this picture. I don't know who took it, so I'm not going to give it an. I'm not going to say it's an A. I'm not, but definitely this would be a B plus, a solid B or a B plus. This could be very easily recreated using a. Say if we're in a darker room and we take the picture, and because it's a dark room, somebody's shining a flashlight on her, and the shutter speed's a little bit slower than normal. You'd get that same effect. Say somebody's shining a flashlight on her while the picture's being taken. You'd get that same effect. If this was my group and we caught that picture and I knew that nobody shined a flashlight there and that psychic was me channeling, I would say that would be an A. Not knowing, really what really happened, I would have to throw it as a B plus, solid B. But there's nothing wrong with it. And when I say a picture's a B, there's really nothing wrong with that at all.
Nope, not at all. I mean, it's still better than being totally shot down. As long as it's not a C, I'd be happy.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we got like 10 minutes left. Let's skip ahead. 22 is, it looks like a shadow person, but I want to jump up to file 23. And this one is kind of cool. This is their number one top photo on this particular website. And this is aboard the Queen Mary, which
okay.
I believe everyone is pretty well knows is haunted.
Yep,
which lends more credibility to this picture immediately. So,
absolutely, it does. Well... I want to say, automatically, by looking at this, is they had a longer shutter speed, and I can tell that they did by looking at the lights. If you can you see how it's very bright in there, and if you look at the lights, how they seem to be glowing, emanating light. You get that effect.
Yep.
You get that cool lighting effect when you use a longer shutter speed. Now, if somebody were to walk down the hallway while that shutter was open, this is what would happen. And you can kind of tell they're walking. I'm looking at the legs of this picture, and they're streaked where the middle part that is solid is still pretty solid. But, if this was my best friend and my number two investigator, and he came to me and said, I took this picture, nobody walked down the hall, well, then you have yourself a Class A there, buddy.
All right, now, real quickly, this photo versus the sailor photo, why did he look ghosty, but yet this one looks black?
Because chances are he probably is wearing, when I'm looking at this now, this gentleman's probably wearing a khaki pants and a black overcoat, and you got to think of the direction they're walking in. This person, I don't see any flesh tone to the head. It's a black hat. It almost looks like he might have a backwards ball cap on. I can't really tell. Is walking away from the camera. He's walking in a straight line. He's walking to point A, point B, away, directly away from the camera. The sailor was walking across the camera. Now, with this one here, a flash probably wasn't used. I don't see any points within the reflective surfaces where a flash bounced. I can't really see the flash.
If they were using a flash, then it would probably light this person up and you'd see the color of the clothing and stuff.
But at the same time, they would still streak as I think the key is here is they're walking away. They're staying within the same general area of the frame of the picture. Where the sailor, the flash went off, and he walked away. He kept walking away from where he was. And during that time, what I mean? And as far as depth goes and the depth of field of this hallway, this person was his biggest when he was closest. And as the shutter was open, he continued to walk away and got smaller. So at that point where he was the biggest is what you see. And as he's walking away, he's still burning that black tan into it, but not deviating from that straight path he's walking on, creating a ghostly image.
All right. Well, we got like 5 minutes or so, 6 minutes. The next photo is file number 24. And this one's kind of weird. I mean, at first it doesn't look weird until I tell you the story behind it. You see, this woman here was at a care home, nursing home or whatever, and they went over and took her picture. And for 3 years, they looked at this picture. They made copies of it. They passed it around through the family. And it took them 3 years before they noticed the gentleman standing behind her. Apparently, it wasn't in the photo at first. 3 years later, the gentleman appears there. And that is her husband, who died 12 years before this picture was taken. And that's a picture of him up in the up at the top there. And they're convinced that's who it is. But they swear they never noticed that gentleman standing behind her for the first 3 years of looking at this photo and duplicating it and copying it and everything else.
Well, if that's the case, then if that's the case, and if that's true, then they got themselves a good ghost picture. It's so hard for me, and I'm sure it's hard for anybody who doesn't personally know the situation, where you're kind of forced. Forced to believe their story as to how the picture was captured, and this is the perfect example. I don't know them from a hole in a wall. I've never even seen this picture before, and if they're telling the truth, well, then that's a great piece of evidence. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, just when I first started reading it, you know, and just the fact that, okay, he wasn't there when they took the picture, but then he was after would have been great evidence in itself. But then when I got reading the story, how they said they passed this picture around for 3 years and never noticed it there, and then all of a sudden it appeared, that makes it even weirder.
Yeah, that does make it weird. And how do
and
you
then
really
there's,
look
then there's a then there's a little matrixing going on, I think, too, because someone commented that over top of the red vehicle in the bushes, they see a face over there as well.
Yeah, well, that's kind of like, oh, yeah, I see what they're saying. Yeah, that's matrixing. That's kind of pushing.
Okay, I know we're not going to get to all these photos here. Jump to number 25. This one, the story behind it was kind of weird. This is a place, I think it was in England. Way back when, a 14-year-old girl started a fire in this building, and she perished in the fire. Now here it is, modern times, this building is on fire again. All that light you see in the window to the left is flames. And they took the picture, and this girl shows up here, and they said there is no way that a real girl would have been up there that close to the fire. I mean, the firemen would have been up there and got her by now. So this one's kind of really, really weird and hard to explain.
Yeah, that's definitely kind of creepy. If that's true, that's a great picture. It's, you know, and I think that's the hardest part of this is just really trying to believe what they're telling you. You know, that could very easily be photoshopped in. It could very easily be photoshopped in, but at the same time, boy, maybe it wasn't. And, sometimes, I have to take a step back and away from my skepticism of pictures and kind of disbelief and thought that everybody's trying to fool you with a picture and take it for what they're saying, what it is. And if that's a very good Class A picture, if what they say is true. Because I couldn't recreate that without Photoshop and mirrors and really trying to recreate that, or reading in the newspaper the next day about how another girl died in this fire.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So,
anyways, we still got a bunch more photos here. I let people look at them. Maybe in a couple of weeks we can come back, stop back in here, and take a look at them again and go through the ones that we didn't cover today. I'll leave them up so everyone can take a look. There's another 10 in there, some of the best photos. If you want to just real quickly jump to the last one, number 35 that I put up here earlier today. I found it when I was looking around, and it's supposedly they were in a cemetery, and they found a nudist colony was haunting the cemetery, and they got their picture of them running through the cemetery.
I don't know about that one. Now, did you hear that too?
I'm not hearing a thing. You must be the psychic one, because I didn't hear a thing. So, you got people talking to you over there.
No, I just had something mumble. You know, I thought I had someone mumbling over my phone. It sounded like somebody right in your microphone mumbling.
Okay. Anyways, we got 3 minutes left. So I want to remind everyone that next week Josh is going to be gone. So we're going to have psychic medium Gemini Rose, who was in the chat room for a split second and then disappeared. She's going to be the special guest co-host with me next week. The week after that, we're taking the week off. We've got things to do and people to see. And the week after that, we will be back. And are we going to move the time to 7 p.m., Josh?
That's what I'm thinking. I think we should go go prime time and go from 7 to 9.
All right. Unless
everybody
in the chat room
thinks it's a bad idea.
Well, I think it's a good idea, because then the people that want to come in on the West Coast, it'll only be 4 o'clock for them instead of 2 in the afternoon. And this way it gives everyone a chance to get dinner out of the way and everything. And so we'll do it from 7 to 9. I'm just reading in the chat room. Pubic hair in the afterlife. That's hilarious.
Okay. Actually, you know what? Let me look at my schedule.
So, that, let's see. Today's what? 14th? 21st, Gemini Rose will be here. 28th will be gone. So I believe the next show will be, I believe it's like July.
It'll be July 4th. 5th. July 5th.
5th. My birthday.
July 5th. All right.
My birthday, yes. So,
and well, who knows? If things go well, and let me tell you, that is going to be a very exciting week for me. I can tell you July 12th, I also won't be available. I have something going on the 12th. I forgot that was on a Sunday. But that week leading into July, going from July 5th, that week is going to be a very exciting week, and I might be able to get a good birthday present for you. I know something that nobody else knows right now.
All right. I look forward to my present. Anyways, we got about a minute left, 90 seconds left. So let's see. Any idea what we want to talk about when we come back?
When you go back here
3 weeks from now, or you want a little bit of this and that, pick up maybe in the first hour we can pick up on these photos that you didn't get to today. In the second hour, we can throw a guest in there or something.
Yeah, I think that's what we might do. I'm thinking we can jump in. It'll probably take us 15, 20 minutes to get through these pictures, and that'll give me 2 weeks to hound on a guest. I had a few this week I was going to try and work on, but there's some scheduling conflicts and stuff like that. And I will definitely have a guest, and that's for sure. Thank you for everybody for listening. I really appreciate it. I know our numbers are growing a little bit here and there as we go, and that's great. I thank you for everybody who's streaming this and podcasting it too. That's great. I know we're getting a lot of numbers on that. Feel free to always check out our webpage, hauntedamericaradio.com. You can get anything about me and my team at berkshireparanormal.com, or find me on Facebook or MySpace.
All righty. I want to thank everyone. HauntedAmericaRadio.com, and
We'll be here. Whoop, got 10 seconds and we're out of here. So I'll be talking to you, Josh. I appreciate you joining us.